We continue to talk about the letter to the Ephesians, and we've gone through a number of different things that Paul talks about in the letter to the Ephesians. We've talked about our position in Christ, our possession in Christ. A few weeks back, we talked about walking in unity, and last week, we talked about walking in purity. And today, we're going to continue on that walking theme, and we're going to talk about walking in harmony. And you may say to me, well, what is that, Pastor Paul? What is walking in harmony? Well, you're going to find out what walking in harmony is and what it involves and what it takes to walk in harmony. But we're going to pick up today in Ephesians chapter 5 at verse 18. And we're going to talk about what it is to walk in harmony in our lives. This is very similar to walking in unity within the body, but this is getting outside of that, walking in harmony with the people we come across in our daily lives. Some of them we don't come across, some of them are just in our lives. But we'll get to that. But I want to start with verse 18. And when we broke this up, I kind of looked at this and said, why is this verses 18 to 20 not with the last week's message in walking in purity? And I'll get to why it isn't in just a second. But Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says this: don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul here is talking, and he's just finished talking about living a life of purity. And Will spoke on that last week with us and shared really well. And I went, that really belongs with that message. But as I thought about it and prayed about it and studied this past week or so, I came to some very interesting things that I feel the Lord spoke to me about. And the don't be drunk with wine is pretty straightforward. Everybody understand what don't be drunk on wine means? Yeah. I think we've got that. We hear all the time in our world about what drunkenness can cause, but there's more to it than just saying don't be drunk on alcoholic product here. What Paul's talking about is don't follow the methods of the world in order to deal with your situations. In order to deal with how you want to live, we can't follow the patterns of the world when we take that to its next step. We can't follow the ways of the world or the world's ways of thinking and live in harmony. Everybody got to understand that? Does our world walk in harmony? Not at all. We walk in dissension. We walk in anger. Or our world does. Bitterness. And some people use alcohol or drugs to get by that. But we can't follow the world's ways of thinking and live in harmony. We can't be drunkards and live in harmony. Has we ever met a really, really mean drunk besides me? No, none of you have ever met drunk people. There's people that are, I've met all kinds of drunk people over my years, and there's happy people, but there's a lot of really mean drunks. You can't live in harmony and follow the things, the ways, the patterns the world tells us. Because our world tells us that if someone does something to you, what are we supposed to do? That's what the Bible tells us. That's wonderful, and that's exactly what we're supposed to do. But what does our world tell us we're supposed to do? Get revenge? Get back at them? You know, do unto, that's when people want to quote scriptures. Do unto others as they would do to you, and that's not even scriptural. It's actually do unto others as you would want them to do to you. But, you know, they misquote scripture. You know, someone hurts you, you want to hurt them back. That's what our world tells us to do. But that's, we can't follow those ways and live in harmony in our lives. So what does scripture tell us to do instead? It says we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? That's what the scripture tells us. Do not be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to live in harmony. Understand that. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit to live in harmony. People without the Holy Spirit don't live in harmony. So that's why we start there today. And why must we be filled? Because if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to be in us and flow through us, what are we going to do? We're going to become like our world. Scripture tells us, actually, in John chapter 15, that you and I can do nothing apart from Christ. John 15, 5. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Listen to this last. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from us allowing the Holy Spirit to move in us, we can accomplish nothing of value. Nothing. We can't be righteous. We definitely can't walk in harmony. But here's the promise, and I didn't change my scripture reference. It's actually John 15, 26. But I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. Jesus says, you can't do anything without me. I'm going away, but I'm going to send you the Spirit so that your life will be a testimony to me. See, we want to live in harmony. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in us. We need to allow Him to lead us. We need to listen to His voice when our voice says, get them back. When our voice says, react in anger. When maybe our voice tells us, punch them in the nose. When maybe our voice tells us as we're driving down the road, flip them a finger that we're not supposed to. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit if we want to live in harmony. It's weird. I find the more I drive, the more I see the disharmony of our world. I was coming into the office about 3 weeks ago, and I come from east, and Kingston Road from about Mance Road to Lawrence is a horrible, horrible drive right now. Well, it's actually just about now it's getting better. I think everything's open. But I grew up in that area, so I know all the back streets. So I jump off at Mance Road, or actually normally earlier, go down through the valley, come up and go down past my old public school, down streets. I have no idea what their names are. I just know where they are because my friends lived on them. Cross Morningside, cut down another few back streets, and finally come out to Kingston Road back at about Lawrence. But the other day I was driving there, And this gentleman was, he was actually stopped first, and four-way stop, and he started to go, and the guy in front of me decided, no, you're not going first. And the man beeped at the guy, and the guy stopped his car right in front of this guy, jumped out of his car, started yelling and screaming at him, pointing his fingers like a gun at him. And I'm sitting here going, really? The man beeped his horn at you and it wasn't even one of those, you know, where he leaned on the horn. It was just I had the right of way. And I'm going, what are we becoming that this is what, and by the way, I had to follow this guy, and at the next corner, he got out and started yelling at someone else. That anger, that dissension, that's what our world has become. And yet, our Bible tells us to live in harmony as believers. So let's continue in verse 21. And further, submit to one another in reverence, sorry, out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Okay, everybody's still quiet. No one ran for the door. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. Now, I'm going to stop there. I don't want to lose anybody. This scripture has been misused for years and years and years. Since the beginning, probably since it was written. But we won't misuse it today. We'll get there. Just stay with me. Verse 25, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it just as Christ cares for the church. And we are all members of his body. As the scripture says, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. When I saw what I got assigned in this series, I went, thank you, Pastor Dan. This is always, always, always a tricky portion of scripture to preach, but it really isn't. It's quite simple. It says it right there in the scriptures. Wives are to submit to their husbands. Now, that doesn't mean that if your husband tells you to go commit a crime, that we have to be the submissive wife and go and do that. We submit to our husband. In today's society, that could mean a whole different thing. So, wives submit to their husbands in a manner that they respect them, that they honor them, that when push comes to shove, they will be submissive. The same way you and I, all of us, are to submit to the authority of Christ. God has ordained marriage to be a certain way. And I'm going to say this, and people, some of you may not like it, but when marriage is out of whack, when the roles are reversed, we walk away from the covering of Christ for our marriage. It gets very silent when you say that. Yes, wives, you first are submitted to Christ. That's crucial to understand. But then we are to submit and respect our husbands. And I've heard ladies over the years say to me, yeah, but my husband's, and they use whatever adjectives they want to describe him. My husband doesn't know the Lord, so I cannot submit to him. Does it say that anywhere in there? No. The submission isn't, if my husband does this, then I will submit. The submission is the first thing Paul actually talks about. And everybody says, well, see now, Pastor, you're putting women down. You're putting them in the back seat. No, I'm not. Wait till I get to what men have to do. It's a whole, we have a whole great big thing that we have to do in order to love our wives. And that's the second part of this. Husbands are to love their wives as they love themselves. I love me. And guess what? Every one of you could look in the mirror and say the exact same thing. We have things we dislike about me, but we love me. And if we didn't love me, we wouldn't feed me. We wouldn't clothe me. We wouldn't bathe me. We wouldn't do anything for ourselves. There's lots of people that love me. They're me. Not me, me. I don't know, I'm making no sense now. Way too much. We have a generation, I left my phone down there, that wants to hold their phone out here all the time and take beautiful pictures of themselves. And have you ever noticed most selfies are the most obnoxious, gross pictures you ever want? Because they're taken at the weirdest angles. Your nose looks giant or your head looks deformed. It's true. If someone takes a picture of you, they're in front of you, they've got the right angle. You doing this with your arm. Anyways. But we are lovers of ourselves, is what I'm trying to say. Some people love themselves so much that they spend 3 hours a day in a gym pumping iron and drinking this and that and whatever to try to get beautiful looking. And there's nothing wrong with going to the gym. I probably should go once in a while. But some people take it to extremes. So we as a society, we as human beings love ourselves. And husbands are directed by Paul here to love their wives as they love themselves. That means it's no longer me first. It's my wife first. In fact, Paul says it even deeper in saying, you need to love your wife as Christ loved the church. What did Christ do for the church? He died. Even when he didn't want to. When he was in the garden praying, what did he say? Lord, if this cup can be taken from me, take it. But not my will, your will be done. You see, Christ was led by the Holy Spirit to do the will of the Father in going and dying on behalf of you and I, his church. Same way we need to be led by the Holy Spirit to do whatever is best for our wife. So men, we have a huge responsibility. And I'm going to say this, as a husband, I would have no problems dying for my wife. That's easy. Living for my wife is a lot more difficult. Dying, I know where I'm going. That's easy. Someone came in and said, I'm going to shoot you or I'm going to shoot your wife. You choose. The choice is easy. Shoot me. But the living for your spouse, for your wife, is much more difficult. Putting her first. See, therefore, your wife's going to want to submit because she knows you have her best interest at heart. We look at just the last part of that verse in verse 33. So again I say, and Paul, you know, kind of punches it home at the end. So again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself. And the wife must respect her husband. I like the word respect. The submit word is kind of I don't think it's the greatest of translations, and it's the same word is translated respect later in the verse, so. But there's a balance in marriage of love and respect. Husband's love, which means you're going to respect. Wives respect because you love. And then he goes on in verse 6, or in chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents. And they all went downstairs. Because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children. And that could say fathers, mothers, parents. It's probably a better word there. To anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Pretty simple stuff. Children, be obedient. They're all downstairs, so you can all tell them, that you can all quote them this scripture. When you go home, you can actually take them to the Ten Commandments, and that's right there in the commandments. That's what Paul's quoting. Honor your mother and father, and you'll live a long and happy life. Again, easier said than done. I had to learn this lesson last night. I'm still a child. My mother is still around. She always tells me, you will always be my child. And I tell my kids all the time. I have a 26-year-old daughter, 22, and 17-year-old sons. And I tell them, no matter how old you get, no matter how, in my son's cases, no matter how much taller than me you get, you're still my kids. And I had to learn last night. My mother's in the nursing home down the street here. And I went in to pick her up yesterday to take her out to lunch. And, you know, sometimes she can be annoying. And she was good yesterday. And when I took her back, the nurse said, oh, you know your mom had x-rays because she might have a broken shoulder. And I said, yeah, I know she had x-rays, but she fell 3 months ago. And it came to a point where she wasn't telling the doctor she was in pain. And I finally had to say, Mom, you need to tell the doctor you have this pain. So she did. They took x-rays. And they told me yesterday, yes, the x-rays have come back and she's got a broken shoulder. We don't know what the doctor wants to do, but we'll let you know. So at about 6 yesterday afternoon, the home called me and said, we're sending your mom to the hospital. I said, okay, why? They said, that's what the doctor wants us to do, send your mom to the hospital. Okay, that's fine. I was just falling asleep last night at about 10:45 because I knew I had to be up at 5 this morning. And my phone rings, and it's the hospital. East General or whatever it's called now. It's always be East General to me as someone who grew up in East York. We're releasing your mother, and how are you getting her home or back to the nursing home? And I'm going, I have no idea. I'm in Pickering. It's now 10 to 11, and I have to be up at 5 in the morning. And they said, okay, we'll send her home in a taxi. The hospital will pay for it. It's all good. I said, great. And I heard my mom in the background. I'm not going in any taxi. So the doctor says to me, first of all, she should have never been sent here. There's nothing we can do. This is a 3-month-old fracture. And she doesn't want to go in a taxi. And I said, okay, I'll Uber her. And I hear my mom, or she says, he's going to put you in an Uber. Mom goes, I'm not going, he's going to come and pick me up. So I get dressed, I go down, I pick her up, I get back to the home here at 11:30 at night. It's locked. Locked up for the night. So spend 20 minutes trying to find someone to open up and take my mom in. And I was doing everything in my power not to tell my mother off for making me come down there. And the whole way God's just reminding me, honor your mother and your father. So even at my age, I have to be an obedient child and honor my mother. My father's no longer with us, but... So, you might when you say, all the kids are downstairs, Pastor Paul, why is that? Because guess what? Some of us still have parents. Want to live a long life? Honor them. Parents also are to treat their children with love, with the father heart of God. Scripture says to us, do not provoke them to anger. Anybody besides me has ever provoked your kids to anger? I see people saying never. I'm going to talk to all your kids right after that are downstairs. Yes, we must discipline our children. Not provoking them to anger doesn't mean we allow them to just do whatever they want and run around and do and get in trouble, because that's going to cause all kinds of other issues as they get older. But it's the way we discipline our children. We have to do it with the father heart of God. Does God beat us about the head when we do something wrong? No. But God is gentle. Sometimes he's firm in telling us. But he doesn't provoke us to anger. Holy Spirit is gentle most of the time. Some of us need a little bit more push. Some children need a little more push. But treat your children with love and respect as well, even when disciplining them. Because guess what? God loves our children. You got to understand, some of that in biblical times was children were there. We'll go back to the old saying, to be seen and not heard. And some of that still should apply. But in the patriarchal society, children were almost like servants in a lot of ways. And that's not how God wants it. In fact, what happened when the children wanted to come to Jesus? What did the disciples do? They tried to stop them. And what did Jesus say? Let them come to me. I've got the scripture up there. I'm going to skip by it. But because the kingdom of God, if you want the kingdom of God, you got to come like these little children. God loves children. They're not there to just be provoked and angered. And then finally, scripture goes on in verses 5 to 9. It says this, slaves, Obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven, and he has no favorites. Now, understand, I am not promoting slavery. Everybody good with that? But in Jesus' day, and Paul, the day Paul's writing this, slavery existed. And what Paul is saying is, slaves, work hard for your masters. Masters, treat your slaves with respect and honor. In today's society that we live in, because there are still places in the world where slavery exists. But in our society, what's being said here is we are to respect those we work for. And if you have the privilege of being in management or overseeing people, respect those who work for us. So respect those we work for and those who work for us. Pretty straightforward. What does he say? When you're working hard, when you're working, work as though you're working for me. You don't have to worry, is my boss watching? Oh, well, I'm just going to sneak on to Facebook on my company computer here for 5 minutes. Or I'm just going to spend the next 45 minutes on a personal phone call from work. Work not as though your boss is watching you, but work as though Jesus is watching you. And then if you're the boss in the situation, treat people with the respect they deserve. Because what does it say at the end of that reference? Remember, you both have the same master in heaven. And he has no favorites. Guess what? For those of you who have people that work for you, they're no worse, you're no better than they are. Yeah, we've all probably worked for that boss. Well, I'm better than you because I'm the boss. No, you're not. We're all the same in God's eyes. We're all loved the same in God's eyes. I'm no better than you. You're no better than me. Respect for those people around you. God's put them there. Guess what? You might work for that boss who's just horrible, horrible to work for. But God's put you there for a reason. When we start understanding that and working as unto the Lord, God will then work things for change. Colossians 3:23 says this, work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. That is what is how we should live our lives. When we do this, when we have heart, when we love our spouses and respect our spouses the way they're supposed to be. When we do the same with our children. When we do the same and give respect in our workplaces. We'll have harmony. And why does God care about us having harmony? That might be a really good question. But I believe God cares about us walking in harmony because he cares about us. How does God want us to walk with him? In harmony. Hearing from him, Him speaking to us, us speaking back to him, walking a path together. God wants us to have harmony in our lives because he cares about us. Ever met those Christian people who just walk around grumpy all the time? Man. Am I the only one that knows these people? Feedback. Has anybody ever met those people who call themselves Christians? I'm not going to judge them. Who walk around just grumpy, mad at the world all the time? Yes. How many of them, they almost turned you off of church? Don't raise your hand on that one. That's not what God wants for us. He wants us to live harmonious lives, one with another. That was the unity stuff we spoke about a couple weeks back, or a few weeks back. And then with the world around us. How much simpler would life be if you didn't have to be getting angry and, you know, losing your cool at work and with your kids at home and with your spouse? Life would be so much easier, right? Yeah, that's what God wants for you and I. So God wants us to walk in harmony because he cares about us. And here's a real key. When we walk in harmony, it's a witness to the people around us. I was just talking about those grumpy Christians who almost turned me off of church at one time. How do you think that works with the non-Christian person? Not very well. When we walk in harmony, we become a witness to everyone around us. You work hard, you're a witness to your boss. You walk in submission if you're a wife to your husband who may not know Christ, you're a witness. Your husband that may have a wife that doesn't know Christ and you love her as Christ loved the church, you're a witness. When your kids are going through those struggles that they go through in teenage years predominantly, and you love them and you don't provoke them, discipline them, but in love, you're a witness to them. If your parents don't know Christ and you honor them and with everything you do, you're a witness to them. When we live in harmony, we are a witness. So my charge to you today, my I don't even know what word I'm looking for here. But just let's choose to live in harmony. You can choose to, or you can choose not to. And how do you choose to? You listen to the Holy Spirit as you walk through your life. We'll go right back to the start. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. And you will live a harmonious life.